God has been faithful to answer our prayers, and for that we must give him glory and give him praise. We serve a good God that hears and answers our prayers. In John 8 this morning, beginning in verse 12, if you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand under the honor of the reading of God's holy Word. John 8, beginning in verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear record of yourself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, just reminded, I forgot to mention, you're hearing our prayers for Miss Becky this past week. Father, and it was great to talk to her last night and hear her just say, tell the people to give God praise. Father, you are good. Father, but as we look at this passage and as Larry spoke this morning, Father, we're reminded that there are people who are blind. Father, who are blind to your grace and blind to your goodness. And Father, it is our prayer that you would open their eyes this morning. Father, I know there is nothing I can say that can raise a dead sinner to life, so we'd ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to be present. Father, that I might preach the gospel with power. Lord, a power that is not my own. Father, that you would close my mouth if I would speak something amiss. But that your Spirit would open eyes this morning. That you would encourage your people. That you would strengthen your people. And that you would call your people to yourself. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to remind you again as we begin this morning of a something that I hope you have memorized by now, but hopefully if you have not memorized it by now, I will repeat it so often that you will have it memorized soon, and that is a text without a context is a pretext. Okay? That means a passage of Scripture taken out of the surrounding passage of Scripture results in a made-up conclusion. What we are going to be looking at today must be taken in context. What has happened is the Pharisees have come and they have brought a woman caught in adultery. They said, Moses commanded such women to be stoned. What do you say? Because they were trying to trap him. Jesus said, stone her. Remember? But stone her first. All those who broke God's law would be stoned exactly in accordance with God's law. That's where he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That is what he said. And then they all slunk away and kind of hid behind other people and ducked down alleyways because they realized this man was serious about obeying God's law. But then they saw that he looked at the woman who had broken God's law and he had said was worthy of death. And he said, has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now this would anger them because they just got condemned, yet he let the condemned woman go. And so they come to him and he says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we looked at that last week. And what Jesus is saying is that he has come to expose sin. That is what he's come to do. And all those who follow him and an open and free confession of the sin that he has exposed will be forgiven of their sin, cleansed of their sin, brought out of darkness and into his light. And that is what it means to have eternal life. This is why the woman does not receive death. She receives life. Because Jesus Christ has forgiven her sins and will die on the cross for her sins, so that she might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, if you are watching this as a Pharisee, there's only one of two options. One, you repent, acknowledge your guilt, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. But they are too arrogant to do this. So that leaves option number two, and that is you have to discredit what Jesus has said. So what is it? What do they say next? They say, you bear record of yourself, your record's not true. They say, you are lying. When you say you are the light of the world, when you say if people follow you, they won't walk in darkness, when you say that you are the one who gives life, you are the one who frees from condemnation, you are the one who exposes sin, you are not telling the truth. So Jesus speaks, and this is what he says. Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Jesus says, what I am telling you about me is true. Notice what he says next. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you cannot tell me where I came from and where I'm going. Notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you are ignorant of the most simple, basic facts concerning who I am. You do not know where I was born. He was born in Bethlehem. You do not know where I came from. He was the Son of God, sent down, born of the Virgin Mary. You do not know where I came from. He was the Son called out of Egypt. You do not know where I came from. He was the Lord's Nazarene. He came from Nazareth. You do not know where I came from. Can any good thing come out of Galilee? What did the prophet Isaiah said? The light will come from Galilee. They could not answer the most simple, historical, basic facts about Jesus, yet they were so arrogant they thought they knew everything about him. And more so, they could not even tell where he was going. Jesus has been telling his disciples continuously from the moment he began with them that he was born to die. And that he would be crucified. And you remember Peter didn't like that. You remember all the rest of the apostles, they kept saying, no, that's not going to happen. But Jesus knew that he was going to go and be crucified, die, bearing the wrath of God for our sins, be buried, be raised again from the dead, ascend to God's right hand, to live and to dwell until he returned for his people, where he will reign forever and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. They could not answer the most simple questions about him. They were ignorant, yet they knew he was wrong. How do ignorant people who do not know the most simple of facts, the most basic of facts, who do not follow logic or history or know the Word of God, how do they come to a conclusion that someone else is wrong? How many of you have ever seen this, where ignorant people know they're right? Where people who've never studied, have never looked into the issue, know they're right. This happens all the time. This is our default mode, by the way. That's just the way you are. That's the way I am. That's the way we all are as human beings. We believe we're right. And don't confuse us with the facts. Don't confuse us with history or logic or the Word of God. We're right, and we know we're right. So notice what Jesus says. Verse 15, you judge after the flesh. And this right here is the nail in the coffin for them. The idea of judging here is to make a moral decision concerning someone. To make a moral appropriation concerning whether someone is good or evil. And he's saying that their judgment is not based upon God, the one lawgiver, the only one who can declare something to be good and declare something to be evil. It's not based upon fact. It's not based upon logic. It's not based upon history. It's not based upon the Word of God. It is based upon their flesh. What does he mean by according to the flesh? What does he mean after the flesh? What Jesus is saying is this. You are declaring me to be a liar, not because of facts or history or logic or the Word of God. You are declaring me to be a liar because your flesh demands that I be a liar. Why does their flesh demand that they be a liar? Have you ever met someone that's caught? And they have one of two options. Either they reject the truth, or they have to openly acknowledge they are wrong. Their flesh will not let them say, I'm wrong. How many of y'all have ever seen somebody that's really proud try to give an apology? Just watch politicians. What do they say? They never say unequivocally, I was wrong. They say, the person who gave me the intelligence was wrong. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what you say? The reason I treat my spouse this way is because of my spouse. The reason I treat my parents this way is because of my parents. The reason I don't like so-and-so is because of this or because of that. The real reason is because you are arrogant. And you are proud. And I am proud. And we all are proud. And the one thing we cannot bear to say is point blank, unequivocally, I am wrong. Period. No clauses attached. No clauses attached. We cannot bring ourselves to say that. And what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees is that their understanding of right and wrong is not based upon the Word of God. It is not based upon facts. It is not based upon logic. It is not based upon history. They are ignorant of all of this. Their decisions of what is right and wrong is based upon themselves. They have made themselves their own God. That's what it is. This is the idolatry. The biggest idol in your life is you. You don't like something, therefore you declare it to be wrong. And you try to find a Bible verse that backs up what you say. We do that. We all do that. You don't like what your spouse is doing. And the reason you don't like it is because of you, not because of logic or facts. You don't like what someone in the government's doing, what your neighbor's doing, what someone else is doing. And it most of the time, 99% of the time, if someone else was to look at it, they would say, you are just like against this because of you. There is no facts. Facts aren't on your side. Reason's not on your side. The only person on your side is you. But you know what? That's what we demand because we think we are God. We think we are right. And please, don't confuse us with facts. That's what the Pharisees are. Remember, they had this long debate on whether someone, John 7, remember the long debate on whether he could actually be the Messiah because he came from Galilee? And remember, Nicodemus said, why don't we go talk to him? Oh, no. Don't confuse us with actually getting information. We don't actually want to go to the person we have a problem with, which, by the way, God commands us to do, because we might be informed with more information that shows us we are wrong. But notice Jesus' response. I judge no man. Now, remember the context here. Remember the context. I don't know about you, but I think that the Pharisees would probably be saying, wait a minute, you just judged us just a minute ago when you said he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. I don't know about you, but if I was the woman and heard the, all I would have heard was stone her. That's all I would have heard. I wouldn't heard anything else, just the stone her. I think I'd be like, excuse me? Isn't it kind of judging someone to tell other people to stone them? You know, don't know what planet you come from, but the planet I come from, that's judging people. Hasn't Jesus said some pretty judgmental things? You know, I mean, think of what some of the things Larry mentioned this morning. He called people snakes. He calls them children of the devil. He calls them twofold sons of hell. Those sound kind of judgmental statements, don't they? But what Jesus is saying, and in fact what Jesus said back in verse 7, is Jesus, when he says, I judge no man, what Jesus is saying is I am not making my whims, my pride, my flesh, the moral arbitrator among human beings. That's what he's saying. Because that's what the Pharisees are doing. The Pharisees are ignoring God's law. And they have made themselves the moral arbitrator. What did Jesus say in verse 7 that was so condemning? What God had already said. That's it. You do realize it is not judging for a police officer to arrest you for violating the law when he reads you the statute and arrests you for breaking it. That is not judging it. It's not. It is not judging for someone to quote Scripture. You know who is judging you? The God who wrote the Scripture. It is not judging someone to say God has already decided that that is wrong. God has already decided that that is right. When you and I begin to speak where God has not spoken, that is where we become judging. When we begin to say what God has declared to be good, I believe to be evil. What God says is evil, I think is good. And where God is silent, I think I have the right to speak. What I am then saying is that I am the lawgiver. Go read in James when it speaks of there's one lawgiver. Jesus, when he speaks here, who judged the Pharisees? God's law judged them. They said, we want to follow Moses' law. He said, okay, follow Moses' law. You're judging us. Well, no, no, you said you wanted to follow Moses' law. I'm just asking that you follow his law. You see, what Jesus is saying here is exactly what he says in Matthew 5. Don't think that Jesus came to change God's law. Jesus is not like you and me. Jesus doesn't look at someone and say, you know what? I don't like them. I'm going to declare them to be wrong. Jesus isn't like us. Jesus isn't racist. Jesus isn't sexist. Jesus isn't one of the rich man looking down on the poor man. How many people in our justice system get a poor shake because of the color of the skin, because of how much money they have in the bank, because of, well, they can't afford a good lawyer, because they're male, because they're female? How many people in our society get judged, and it has absolutely nothing to do with facts? It has to do with the moral arbitration of the person looking at them. What Jesus is saying is, I don't do that. Jesus doesn't care whether you're male, female, old, young, black, white, rich, poor, Hispanic, American, white, it doesn't matter. God's law is God's law. And all he has come to do is exalt it and make it honorable. How many of you have ever heard this idea that Jesus changed the law of God in the New Testament? Jesus is saying here, I didn't change it. That's what he's saying. Is Jesus the judge of all the earth? Yes. And will Jesus judge people at the last day? Yes. But what did Jesus say would judge them? His words. Jesus is not one of those, you know, in our justice system, if you get in really good with some lawyers and you're related to the judge, guess what can happen? You can get off the hook. Guess what? That's not going to happen with Jesus. You can't get in really good with Jesus and, you know, bake him a cake for his birthday and he'll just kind of wink the day of judgment. It doesn't work that way. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, no. This is the law of God. I am not here to make some whim based upon how I'm feeling at the moment, based upon what is right and wrong. How many of you all would look at a woman caught in adultery differently than a man caught in adultery? How many of you would look at it differently if it was your granddaughter that was caught versus, say, a Democrat politician? Jesus is saying, not me. God's law is God's law. Male, female, it doesn't matter. It is the word of God that judges men. Notice what he says next. He says, yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written, I love this part, in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. What he says is this. If you go read the Old Testament, two witnesses confirm something. God the Father and I myself confirm that my judgments are true. Why are his judgments true? Because they are exactly in accordance with the revealed will of God as written down in the Word of God. What did Jesus say in verse 7 that is not in accordance with the law of God. No, all he asks is that the law of God be followed perfectly. That is it. And what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying this. You think you're right with God? You cannot be right with God unless you're right with His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalms 2. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. He says, he who has the Son has life. He who has seen me has seen the Father. No man can come to the Father but by me. There are many people in many different religions, Jews, Muslims, Hare Krishnas, who believe that they are right with God and that it is possible to be right with God without being right with Jesus Christ. I've talked with them. I shared the gospel with one. Jake and Megan came over to our house and they had to wait a little bit because I was selling something to a guy on Craigslist. It was Hare Krishna. And he wanted to talk about the Bible, so let's talk. And he believed you could be right with God without going through Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say? No. No man comes to the Father but by me. You think that Jesus is going to give a different assessment of the situation than God is? No. Jesus is saying, me and my Father are the same. This is what Larry was showing us this morning. God the Father and God the Son. You are not going to get Jesus to say something that God the Father doesn't already say. You know how many people, I confess I did this. You try to play mom and dad against each other. You know, with dad, if you wanted more sweets, he'd always give it. Mom would always say no. Okay? With some other things, mom would always say yes and dad would always say no. So depending on what you wanted, you chose which parent to ask. And the worst thing they could ever say was, go ask your mother. Go ask your father. What'd your father say? What'd your mother say? Okay, which, by the way, is a very good strategy, parents, to stop this. Okay, but y'all know it. Y'all did it as kids. We all did. You are not going to be able to play Jesus and God against each other. They're one and the same. You say, I'm right with God. Are you right with Jesus Christ? Because if you are not right with Jesus Christ, you are not right with God. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life, and the wrath of God abides on him. The only way to be right with God is through the Son. That's what Jesus is showing here. Because these are people that can say, poo-poo, Jesus, we don't care about you because we're right with God. Jesus says, if you're right with God, you're right with me. If you're not right with me, you're not right with God. But Jesus is also saying something when you take this in context, going all the way back. Jesus is also saying, you cannot be right with God and right with me without being right with my word. What was the problem with the Pharisees? The Bible. And that's why he said, it says in your law. Whose law really is it? It's Jesus' law. But why does he say your law? Because they were trying to condemn him with his own book. And he says, oh, let's go read it. I wrote it. I know what all the laws say. You want to follow the law? Let's follow them. Stone every lawbreaker. But you see, they thought they could be right with God while looking at different commands and saying, I really don't think God would say that. Next. I think what God is really trying to say here is there is no way God would ever command me to do that. You know what I think? You know what I think keeping the Sabbath is? I think this is what keeping the Sabbath is. And what they did is they went through all of God's law and they began to ignore bits and pieces of it. They began to follow their tradition. They began to make moral judgments according to their flesh. They began to judge according to their flesh because when they came to God's law, they either repented because they were condemned or they changed God's law. Very few people in our society and very few people in this church will look at this book and say, I refuse to obey it and I do not believe it to be the word of God. However, if you sit down with them and you open it and you read it to them, many of them will say, I don't think that's what God meant, and disobey it anyway. Why? Because the only other option is to say, I'm wrong. You cannot be right with God without being right with Jesus Christ, and you cannot be right with God and Jesus Christ without being right according to His Word. And there are people who constantly twist the Word of God. One of the ones that just boils my blood, because it's nowhere found in Scripture, is that at the end of the day, God is not going to judge you based on anything except one thing. There's only one thing He's going to say, and that is, do you believe in Jesus? Have you ever read Revelation 21:8? Where He goes through liars and adulterers and whoremongers, go to hell. Have you ever read every single passage where Jesus speaks of what is going to take place on Judgment Day? The word belief is nowhere there. Depart from me, you people who didn't believe in me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Then he will sit on that day, and He will separate the sheep from the goats. And He will say to the goats, what will He say to them? Say, I was in prison and you did not visit me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was hungry and you did not feed me. Depart from me, I never knew you. Where was the, He's only going to judge you based upon what you believe? No, genuine faith in Christ results in a genuine walk with Christ. He that follows Him will not walk in darkness. This is what we looked at last week. This is what Dan read last week out of 1 John. You say you have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. You cannot be right with God and reject what God Himself says. Have you ever thought of the insanity of that? I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe anything He said. Think about that for a minute. I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe that part where He says be fruitful and multiply. I just don't believe that part where He says if you have a problem with your brother, then go to him. I just don't believe that part where He says if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. I just don't believe that part where He says husbands love your wives. I just don't believe that part where He says wives respect your husbands. So how are you a believer in Jesus that doesn't believe? How? The answer is, you're not. You cannot be right with God and wrong with His Word. You cannot be right with Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, you know, all those command things, I didn't really mean them. And I just had them written down for fun. It's just funsies. It's a little inside joke between me and God to see how many people are crazy enough to actually think we believed it and meant that. That's not going to happen. They come to Jesus and say, the law of God says, and He says, follow the law of God. Oh, but that's only for this woman, them. It's not for us people. He doesn't actually expect us to follow His law. I mean, you would almost think that He said you can believe in Him and it not be seen by your works. Well, that's right. I think the Bible said the exact opposite of that, and that is if you do believe Him, it will be seen by your works. You see, what Jesus is doing here is Jesus is cutting off all the Pharisees' options. Because one of the most confused people on planet Earth is someone who says, I believe in Jesus, I'm right with God, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God, but don't ask me to read it or obey any of it. And Jesus takes the Pharisees and says, okay, why don't we look in your law and see what it says? Oh, I can't be the Messiah because I'm from Galilee? Well, let's go look in your law. Let's go look in it. It's yours. Let's go look in it. Oh, I'm wrong for saying that we should stone all lawbreakers? Well, why don't we open your law and see what it says? Because the truth be told, they had read the Bible many times and rejected every word of it. Jesus doesn't give them another option. Jesus doesn't say to them, hey, by the way, why don't we just leave out the law part? And let's leave out all that Sabbath breaking parts and the idolatry parts and adultery parts. Let's leave all that out and we're in the New Testament now. No, Jesus tells them, go back and search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but it's they who testify of me. He says, no, you need to go back and read the Bible again. The truth be told, there are people who've read through the Bible every day for many years who need to go back and read it again. Because they missed it. And churches are filled with people who know just a little bit of Bible, but don't have a clue as to what the Scripture actually says. And I speak this from experience. I'm going to share with something with you. I was a know-it-all, arrogant jerk in high school. And then I went to college and was even more arrogant jerk. And then I got into some debates with people who didn't debate me. They just asked, well, how would you interpret the scripture? And I went, because the scripture said the exact opposite of what I believed. And they didn't debate me. They just said, well, I agree with you, but I just don't understand how you would interpret this passage of scripture. Where do you find that in scripture? What's in there? Can you show me the verse so I can look it up for myself? And I began to realize that so much of what I thought I was right on, I was wrong on. So much of what I thought was in scripture wasn't in scripture. And when I actually had to give people a Bible verse, like chapter and verse, and like show it to them and read it to them, all of a sudden, many of the things that I held on to so tightly, I began to realize I held on to because I thought they were right. Because I was like a Pharisee who made judgments according to the flesh, which is this: if I conceive of God to be a certain way, that is the way he must be. If I cannot understand a God who predestines, then God can't predestine. If I cannot believe in an eternal, if I can't comprehend an eternal hell, there must be no eternal hell. If I can't understand the Trinity, there must be no Trinity. If I can't understand how God would say that if you don't forgive people, he won't forgive you, then I don't have to forgive people. But then I was confronted again and again and again and again and again. And so I began to realize that my default position was I was right, whereas my default position should have been I am wrong. You know, there are many people who, like the Pharisees, reject the truth of God. And if you were to ask them why, if you were to ask them, well, where did Jesus come from and where did he go, they could not answer. Because the way they live their life is a complete and total rejection of God's word, because they are ignorant of God's word and cannot answer the most simple questions concerning the word of God. I've asked y'all before, can you go home and show from scripture, can you get out a piece of paper and write down how you know, using only scripture verses, that you are saved? Of course I can. Well, then go do it. And find out how ignorant you really are. Try it. You say you're right with God. Is that really a true judgment based upon the word of God, or is that a judgment of the flesh made out of arrogance and ignorance? You see, we are people who think our default position is I'm right. I'm here to tell you your default position should be you're wrong. Notice what they say next. Then they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you do not know me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. Why? Why could they not see who Jesus was? They didn't know God. When you meet someone who refuses to open the Word of God and answer the most basic questions from the Word of God, you have met a lost man. And when you meet someone who says, I am right and I do not care to even see what Scriptures has to say on this issue, you have met a lost man who does not know God. When you meet someone who says, I don't care what you say the Bible says, I'm right with God, and then say, well, what does the Bible say, and they won't answer it, you've met a man who's lost. You see, the biggest problem with mankind is they will not admit they're wrong. If you would admit you were wrong, Jesus Christ could make you right. You see, your life is you're like a little kid trying to work a Rubik's Cube. And the only way you know to make it work is to tear it to pieces. How many people fix Rubik's Cubes that way? You take a screwdriver and you pry it apart. And then you're left with a whole bunch of pieces and you can't put them back together. And God's sitting there saying, you know what? When you're willing to say you're ignorant, I'll fix it for you. When you're willing to say you can't do it, I'll make it right. We completely go through pain after pain after pain, brokenness after brokenness after brokenness after brokenness, and we continually say, we're right, we're right, we're right, we're right. How can someone who is being so right endure so much wrong? Have you ever asked that question? If you are right about everything, then how come everything's wrong in your life? Oh, but I forgot. Logic and facts and history don't matter. for arrogant people. If you would come before God and say, I am wrong, He will show you what's right. Then He would make it right. So I have one question for you. Will you admit that you are wrong? That is the hardest thing to do. If the Pharisees would have actually listened to Jesus, you know what they'd be? Oh, they'd be Nicodemus who was saved. But the biggest issue was not facts, not truth, not what the Word of God actually said, not history, not reality. And the biggest issue is they were too arrogant to say, I'm wrong. If you are a believer here today, may I encourage you to make your default position before you ever open the Bible? Is I'm wrong. You know what? The Bible will make a whole lot more sense if you do that. If you open the Word of God as the I am wrong, God, please show me what's right, you'll find out what's right pretty quick. I used to have this idea of I am right until God proves me wrong. And you know what? If you want God to prove you wrong, He will after He runs you over with an 18-wheeler. And He breaks you in a million pieces until you finally say, I'm wrong. I've seen people. I've seen it through myself. Their lives are falling apart at the seams. And they go, what's going on? God is trying to get you to admit you're wrong. And until you admit you're wrong, you'll never be right. Jesus Christ came. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper like we do every week. To make you right. But He only makes those who are wrong right. This is humility. Humility is being able to say, you know what? I really don't know the Scripture that well. It is amazing to me how many people who haven't even read the whole Bible know exactly what the Bible has to say. How many have ever met people like that? I know a preacher one time that confided in me. He'd been a pastor like 5 years and never read the whole Bible. But by my goodness, he knew everybody else was wrong. How do you know? You haven't even read the whole thing. How many of y'all have ever read it and gone, wait, I never saw that before? Have you ever thought that maybe there's a whole bunch you never saw before? That's the truth. And so I would encourage you to adopt the position of I'm wrong. People said before, you know, you're very bold. I am not a very bold person. I can just say like Jesus, I don't judge. God said it, so I'm going to repeat it. And if that makes me bold, okay. I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff. My dad's talked about people who preach topically, and he says, I'm not smart enough to do that. Why do you think I just go verse by verse? Because then all I got to do is tell you what he already said. Because I'm not smart enough to come up with another way. This is the Word of God. If you believe it, obey it. If you don't believe it, why are you here? Go write your own book. You're already living by the book. Might as well write it down and make your own religion. Make it the religion of Billy Bob. I don't care. Don't call it Christianity. Will you admit you're wrong? Will you come to the Word of God and let Him be light? And let Him expose? God gives grace to the humble. You know why people don't understand the Word of God? Because they're arrogant. If you came to the Word of God with humility, you would be amazed what you would see. But when you already know it all, you ain't going to see nothing in there that you haven't already known. When you realize you don't know it all, you will see things you've never seen before. If you're here today and you believe that you know everything, would you humble yourself enough to admit you're wrong? Would you come to Jesus Christ so that He could make you right through His shed blood and His resurrection from the dead? Would you repent of your sin and confess them to the Lord so that He might forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, would you let the abundance of the revelations that God has given you humble you and show you how much you do not know, as opposed to give you pride and how much He has revealed to you? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Amen.